Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
The moment you were born again, you were made, not attained, you were made the righteousness of God in Christ.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland continues his teaching on faith of the heart. Understand who you are in Christ Jesus and your right standing with God. Now let's join Kenneth.
We've talked about this God kind of faith. Every believer has a measure of it. We've talked about the measure can be increased. Faith is of the heart, not the head. Let's go back over there again, Mark 11, 22-23. Jesus answering unto them said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So, saying is equally important to the believing, because he tells us what to believe. To believe what we say comes to pass. Oh, can you get a hold of that? Get that. Just say, Lord, help me grasp that. Give me revelation of this. Words. How? Let's go over here at the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Thank you, Lord. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, remember this. Faith is a spiritual force. All of these things are in the realm of the Spirit, and that's where real power is. Amen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance or self-control. All of the fruit of the Spirit, those are spiritual forces. Joy is strength. Long-suffering or patience is endurance in the Spirit. Meekness is so powerful. It's not weakness. Meekness is yielding authority to a higher command. That is true humility. Your word is true. Your word is final authority in my life, in the name of Jesus. And I receive your authority. I bow my knee to your word. You're not a man that you can lie. And when you begin to praise God with that and worship God with those words, that they begin to build and grow, build and grow, and build and grow. Now, as they do, all of the fruit of the Spirit functioning at one time, that comes up in there as a major force after development. They produce true holiness. Now, holiness and righteousness are two different things. The moment you were born again, you were made, not attained. You were made the righteousness of God in Christ. Righteousness is you're a new creature. Let's turn over. I want you to see this. Let's go over there too. I jumped out of the book of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, the worlds weren't made out of nothing. It was made out of faith, which can't be seen. But once faith was released, then you could see the results of it. See? You understand that now? All right. Now, hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now get this. 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Now this means women too. Let me touch on that for a minute. Don't let that throw you. See, the Bible is, the words translated man is referring to mankind. That doesn't have any gender in it. It's not talking about male. There are male men and female men, mankind. There's male tigers and there's female tigers, okay? So there's no distinction there between male and female. If you studied the New Testament, you can find all that because it just states that. Anyway, I didn't want you to get hung up on that. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God. Now listen, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing or not holding against them their trespasses, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, you be reconciled to God. He's already forgiven you. He's already reconciled it. But He can't do you praying for you. You have to receive it by faith. You can't make the connection unless you believe what He said. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Are you with me now? All right. Now watch this. Now, in the King James translation, I'll read this. It's a little bit, it's a little bit scrambled up. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, let me turn that around just a little bit. For He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God, that we might be made right with God in His eyes. The moment you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became right and righteous in the eyes of God. You're as righteous as you'll ever be. You can't grow in righteousness. Now, you can become stronger in it, but your righteousness, but now you got to do something about your flesh, and that's where holiness comes in. So, look at it again now. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, Romans chapter 5. Praise God. And let's begin looking at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Say free gift. The free gift. For if through the offense of one, or that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And the same word righteous is translated justification. They're one and the same. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Are you listening? Much more. Say it. Much more. Say it again. Much more they which receive. You have to receive it by faith. It's just hanging there over you, waiting for you to accept Jesus because it's in Him. The moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, well, I mean, the righteousness of God came inside your spirit. Glory to God. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign, one translation shall reign as kings, in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus took our sins in order to give us His right standing with God. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Let me put it like this. Did Jesus ever commit a sin? No, not one. Did you and I ever commit a righteousness? No, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But listen, He took our sins. He never committed sin. He took my sin and your sin. I never committed anything righteous. You never committed anything righteous. And gave us His righteousness. Hallelujah. Woo! So what does this mean? I'll tell you what it means. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews again and let's look at the 10th chapter. Now, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, or the sacrifice of animals and so forth, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, don't let the word perfect throw you. It's talking about the perfection of the new birth, and then it's also used in maturing, growing up into Him. But I want you to notice something now. No. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to it. For then, now let me read it again. Those sacrifices by animals and so forth, which offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect, or cause them to be born again, then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience or no more sin consciousness. Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you can't be both. Now, this comes from the renewing of the mind. Put your hands right here if you're placed where you can. Put your hands right there. And say, Father, I want to be, and I am now, righteousness conscious. I have a righteousness consciousness that by the blood of Jesus and faith in that blood, not the blood of animals and so forth, but the blood of Jesus, my sins have been purged. I've been made the righteousness of God. Your righteousness. No longer sin conscious, identifying with Adam, but I am righteous, conscious, identifying with you, Lord Jesus. My, 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 my. Oh, let that just sink in on you. A righteous consciousness. You remember when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus and he said, "Roll the stone away." Mary said, "Lord, he stinks." In other words, she's trying to tell him. Like one fellow told me one time, I'd been ministering to his wife, and I'd leave town, and there were some other people ministered to her, and she passed away. She'd get better, and they'd come in and all that, neither here nor there. But I went to the funeral, and he came up next to me, and he kind of sided up next to me, and he said, "Brother Kenneth, she's already been embalmed." In other words, don't try to raise her from the dead. She ain't got any blood. Hey, let's get you one that ain't cooled off yet and see if what you can do with it. You understand? That doesn't have anything to do with anything. But that's where she was. Lord, see, he'd been embalmed and as mummified the way they did it back there then. And so what is that? That is sin consciousness. That was sin consciousness. Oh, Lord, he's dead. I mean, he's decaying. You can't do nothing now. But a righteousness consciousness can come boldly to the throne of grace, obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need without a sense of not belonging, a sense of, oh, no, 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 no. Which is the most powerful? Standing in office or sitting in office? Do you know? The most powerful is to sit in authority. One that stands in an office has someone else in higher authority. The king never let anybody sit down in his presence because he's the king. Now, we, every born-again believer has been raised up together with him and made to lay on the floor at his feet. No, 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 no. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with humbling yourself and just falling on your face in the floor and say, "Oh, God, help me. I humble myself before you." No, 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 no. But it's not because you're unworthy. I'm going to get up here in your face now. It's not because you're unworthy. His blood made you worthy. His blood brought you into the family. You have been made the righteousness of God. And we've been made to sit with him in heavenly places. Now you can shout, "Hey, hallelujah." That put the joy in you. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. He's made us kings and priests in him. Always in him. I'm not righteous. I've been made the righteousness of God in him. Now I'm righteous. Amen. I can come to him boldly. Even with sin in my life, I can come to him and say, "Lord Jesus, I repent, sir. I repent and I confess this before you." And you said in your word, your apostle John said in 1 John 1:9, "Lord, he said that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin when I confess them and cleanse me of all unrighteousness." Say it. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now you get cleansed from all the unrighteousness. What's left? Righteousness. Whoa, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then I did it again. I done preached me happy again. Doesn't that shoot a thrill through you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, this is one reason that this needs to be preached and taught in a church congregation. Right quickly here in this last couple of minutes we have, move over there one book and let's go to the book of James and let's look in the 5th chapter. Verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up, and if committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye for one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. The Amplified Translation says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or righteous person makes power, much power available, dynamic in its working. The word dynamic is the same word translated, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, dunamis, power, power, miracle, power, available. See, that churches need to know this. We gather together as the righteous and we lay hands on the sick, glory to God, come in there and start praying in the Spirit and don't quit till they heal. I don't care if it takes a week. You ain't got time to eat. Get in there and get them healed. Hallelujah. Whoa. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is what old-time Pentecost used to call praying through. They'd just lock in with God in these situations and just pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't care how long it took. They'd just pray, just keep praying and just keep praying until they broke through in the Spirit. Well, now that we know and come to a place where we know the Word and we know how to live and walk by faith, now we take a higher level of receiving that power into that person's presence, and we just don't quit. We don't have any little rinky-dink God help you prayers. We just get in there and make that healing power available and don't let go in the name of Jesus and reign over that disease as kings and priests of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.